The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. A
couple of minutes with really bad jokes this morning, so. Woohoo! We left that to Eric and Debbie. Didn't they do a good job?
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How about that praise and worship? Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Gets your spirit going, doesn't it? Some of those songs reminded me, you know, it's talking about the impossible, right? Unstoppable God, nothing's impossible. And the Lord whispered something to me this past week, I believe, or a couple of weeks. He said, expect the impossible. Think about that. So if it's possible, you don't need faith, right? Right?
Sure.
Okay, so let's all expect the impossible this week, regardless of what we're facing. And the bigger the impossibility, the bigger the opportunity for God to show up. Amen?
Amen.
So it's so good to see everybody here.
Amen.
We're excited. We're so excited.
So good to be in the house. I noticed that both Case and Eric did not refer this to this as church. Yeah. Well, this building is not a church until you are here.
That's right.
You are the church. That's what Monty's been talking about for, I think, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Being in church. Well, you're not being in church until you're here. And that's what makes it a church.
Amen.
We are the church.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, is being the church, being the body, mm-hmm. being positioned. But before we do, let's say a quick prayer.
Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this most beautiful day, Lord. Yes. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to be together, for it takes each and every one of us, Lord. And we just thank you for your word. And we just know that the word will not fall on deaf ears, but it will fall upon the hearts of each and every person here. And I just pray that their ears are open, Lord, to receive your word, not my words, but your words. We praise you, God, and thank you, Father, for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Positioning. Man, it is so important. You've got to be in position to receive. Mm-hmm. Being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people.
Amen.
That's you right now.
Amen.
You're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people.
Amen.
I don't know if any of y'all have, but I know I've been in places where I wasn't doing the right thing at the right time with the right people. And I praise God that he had the grace for me to bring me here today.
Amen.
It's been a while, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Being in my place in the body of Christ, and we've talked about Ephesians 4. You've heard it. It's mentioned nearly every service,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4.
So
we're going to talk about Ephesians 4. So we're going to do a little bit of reading. It's going to be, we're not going to try getting too big a hurry. We should be out of here by 1:30, 2 o'clock.
He does have jokes. He does. He has jokes. So we spent some time in the message this past week. I don't know if y'all have ever read it, but it's. I would encourage you, read different translations as the Lord leads, because he will inspire and show you things. Sometimes I think we can get familiar with the word, and so it helps us see it fresh. And so we're going to spend a little time in the message this week. I love a lot of different translations, New Living, The Passion. My go-to is Amplified Classic. Love it, love it, love it. But this week it's the message, so we're going to hang out in the message for a little while. We're going to walk through some scriptures, and we're believing it stirred us, guys. It stirred our spirits, so we're believing it's a word for you, and it's going to do the same thing for you.
Right. So in Ephesians 4, in the message, did everybody bring your Bible? I brought 3, however many it takes, right?
Yep. Our media team's pretty
awesome. In Ephesians 4, in light of all of this, now Paul is talking about, you need to go back and study Ephesians 3. But in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. You just said we're going to walk through scriptures. Better yet, let's run.
We're going to run.
on the road God called you to travel. We are all called to do His work. And most people, when they think of ministry, they think of getting up here behind the pulpit. Ministry is a lot more things than that. Monty talked about being encouraged when you're here. That's ministry. You know, I come in here every week and somebody encourages me. And I thank God for that. That's a ministry. I don't want you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down the path that goes nowhere. In James 1, 5 and 6 in the message, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be rebuked when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. So you're on a path. We know we're on a path. That's what Paul just told us. He doesn't want us sitting around. He wants us running. But I don't know what to do. Pray to the Father. Yep. He'll be glad to help.
Yes, amen.
He'll be
amen.
Glad to help.
Amen.
In Psalms 32, where'd it go? My God will instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. My God will teach me and or instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. He will advise me and watch over me with His very own eye.
Amen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Leadership.
Amen.
That was Psalm 32:8. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. And we've been talking about Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where it's talking about be humbling yourself. In 1 Peter 5, 5 through 8, talking about humble yourself and casting all your cares. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Still good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So good.
Moving right along in Ephesians 4 in the message, 4 through 6. You are all called to travel on the same road in the same direction to stay together. So we're called in each of our ministries to travel on the same road in the same direction and stay together. We're not supposed to do it alone.
Amen. Amen.
We're not supposed to do it alone. Somebody needs to hear that. We're not supposed to do it alone.
Amen.
Both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and presents present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. So we are one. We are one. We are called to be one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're called to be one body, but there's different parts, right? I really like the way some of those things, that how it reads in the message. We got to be humble. We got to have discipline, right? We're steadily pouring ourselves out for each other in acts of love. I like this. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Isn't that good? So we're going to notice the different body parts, right? But the difference is good. We're going to read down and we're going to see how it's different. But we're called to travel on the same road in the same direction. So everything we do is permeated with oneness. That doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same, right?
Right.
We're not supposed to be the same. Right? Even though we are in the same body. So.
That's right. In John 17, 20 through 23, neither for these alone do I pray. This is Jesus talking. It is not for their sake only that I make this request. He was with the disciples at the time. But also, and this is where you're included, but for all of those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me. Through their word and teaching, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Mm-hmm. Oneness. Mm-hmm. Oneness. We are all one. We are all in this together. By our oneness, it is a witness to the world that God exists and Jesus is present. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't know if you guys are wired this way. It might just be me. But kind of my default in my own self, if you will, is figuring it out, right? I want to figure it out. What am I supposed to do? We've heard Pastor Sarah say, you know, she was always the one that wanted to do everything right, you know, didn't want to get in trouble. And I mean, there's a lot of us that are a little bit that way, right? We don't want to do it the wrong way. And I think for me that this is gonna set some of us free today, guys, because it's not so much what we do, it's what we're a part of. Amen. And what's so beautiful about it, and we're gonna talk more. I'm probably jumping ahead. I get a little excited if you couldn't tell. But the Lord made it pretty simple for us, okay? He shows us in our own body. We all know, right? We all have a body. I can look at my body, and I can see how he designed for the body of Christ to function, just like he designed for our body to function. And so it's not so much, what is it I'm supposed to do? Where do I need to be? That's the most important thing, because if we're where we need to be, if we're in the right place at the right time with the right people, guess what? We're going to be flowing, doing the right thing. Amen? So if there's anybody out here with a question in their mind, like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just want to do the right thing. And that's my mind a lot of the times. Just rest. Just rest and say, no, as long as I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, then everything else is going to flow. Amen? And, you know, he was talking about ministry. Ministry literally means service. That's what the word means. It means service. And so it's so interesting. A lot of times we come to church and we sit in the chair and we think, well, we don't have anything to contribute, but you do. Each and every one of you is bringing your supply. Each and every one of you has the greater one on the inside of you. So whether there's someone up here or not, what makes it inspirational, what makes it the living word of God, and what makes it different than just going and hearing somebody say a really nice speech is that, because of that anointing that's flowing through from the Holy Spirit through each one of us. So don't ever underestimate your position in the body of Christ. It's very important. We're going to talk more about it. We're just scratching the surface, guys.
Yeah, and I'm going to reread that John 17 because I read it in the wrong translation that we meant to talk about, because there's something said in there that Misty's got it underlined, I got it highlighted. But in John 17 in the Message 20 through 23, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me. Again, praying for us because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart, one mind. The goal is for all of them to become one heart, one mind. The goal is for all of us to become one heart, one mind.
Yes, amen.
Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they will be as unified and together as we are. Mm-hmm. Man, can you imagine being one? One with Jesus, one with the Father. And you wouldn't even know a lot of the things that you know now, because it would be taken care of. As oneness with God and the Father, or Jesus and the Father, oneness means completeness. Completeness.
If you read a little further down, it says, then they'll be mature in this oneness. And so mature in that sense, it is what we think it is, but it's... You think of a fruit that's mature, right? When you pick it, it's ripe, right? So in a sense, that's what that means. So in this oneness, here we go again. We're talking about it. Jesus prayed to the Father. He was getting ready to go ascend into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was going to come. And he was praying for you guys thousands of years later, for all of us to be one like they are one. Mm-hmm. So must be pretty important.
And that we're oneness... It gives the godless world evidence. Yeah. that you've sent me and loved them in the same way that you've loved me.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you the same way he loves his son, Jesus.
Amen.
And this is a witness, as our oneness is a witness mm-hmm. to the world. So, I think we got that across.
I think so. Yeah, amen.
So you want to go on into Ephesians 7 through 13?
Ephesians 4?
Ephesians 4, yeah.
Okay, back to Ephesians 4, guys. We're still Ephesians in the message.
4. Back to Ephesians 4, 7 through 13. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Which Misty's already said that. Yeah. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to train Christ followers in skilled servant work. That's a servant ministry work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. Graceful in response to God's Son. Hang on to that for a minute. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ.
Oh my goodness. Guys, this is a lot, but we're confident your spirits are going to be chewing on it for a while. But just that, we've talked about Ephesians 4, but it reads just a little different in the message. So he's given out these gifts. I don't know if I'm the only one. Remember, I'm the one that wants to figure everything out. So when I sit in a service and they're teaching about the gifts, I go, well, what's my gift? Now, what am I supposed to do? You know, there it is again. What am I supposed to do? And what's so beautiful about it is just recognizing and knowing that we are part of the body of Christ and being in that position and staying joined together and then resting in that. But it says what he does. This is what he says. Okay, so everybody knows Christ is the head, right? Christ is the head and we are the body, okay? So I'm probably getting ahead of myself and I apologize, but I'm going there anyway. So think about, I don't know, a body part. Hand is easy because we can all see it. We can move it. Okay, so your hand or your foot. Think about a body part. And think about you being a body part. You don't have to necessarily think, oh, well, how am I supposed to function? What am I supposed to do? Why? If you're connected to the body, the head tells you what to do. Amen? So think about it. Never once have I ever, right? Because it happens. It just happens. When we come together as the body of Christ, and Christ is our head, we're going to see what he sees. Amen? We're going to go where he goes because he's the head. Think about your own body. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. This was really good for me. Y'all might remember. But I heard through a teaching a couple of weeks ago that we become what we behold, right? And so how important it is, what are we looking at? What are we focusing on? We want to become more like Christ. Well, when we are positive that we're in the right place, we are connected and we are joined with the body of Christ and Jesus is our head, then what happens is he's showing us what we need to do. You don't need to worry about what you have to do. Just show up. You don't even have to worry. What is your part name? Doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Once we're in that presence and we're joined, connected jointly to the rest of the body and him being the head, that's the important part. And everything else will come. Just like, you know, my foot doesn't have to think about what it needs to do. What it needs to do is be connected to the body, and the head will tell it what to do. Amen. So, just encouraging you guys to realize that you do have an important part to play in the body, and not to limit that, and not to make light of it, for sure.
Yeah, that's good, because your body without a head is not going to function very well. I could take my head off, set it in the chair. What's my body going to do? If it doesn't fall to the floor, it's going to wander around bumping into walls and things.
Right.
So we're fixing to go into that a little more in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works, how the body works. By looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. Mm-hmm. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each use the independence independently. We each used to independently call our own shots. And then we entered into a large and integrated life, which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us now is part of his resurrected body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive.
So Paul's laying it out again, and he was talking about gifts, but he's also comparing it to our bodies. So it's easy for us to understand. I love how he expresses this in this part of Scripture. So when he says, this is so good. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, all right? Labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. It makes you more significant, not less significant. It's more important rather than less important. And I think one of the, if you take anything home today at all, it's because of what we're a part of that makes us important. So because we're part of the body of Christ, and that's one of the things that he lays out in this scripture, is he reminds us that just like our own body, he says, you're Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. So for us to remember that we are Christ's body, that's one of the things we've got to be reminded of, that we are part of his body. And that's what makes us significant. Not where we're from, not I don't know, what we've done even, but the fact that we are part of his body makes us significant, regardless how big or small the part might seem. So
I'm going to mention it. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11 talks about the various gifts. If you want to jot that down and look at it later, I skipped it. I didn't mean to, but we got a little ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we skipped over talking about those various gifts. But we want to stress how important you are to the body. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to get today, is the body, what Misty was saying. We are all part of the body. Right. The body, you are important to that body. Yes, the body will function without some parts, but it won't function as well. Mm-hmm. That's why it takes us all to function mm-hmm. as a well. What did it say? Rhythmically mm-hmm. and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. So mm-hmm. we're reacting with him as one. When we say, God, you are my Savior. When you mm-hmm. say, Jesus, you are my Savior. You're claiming him as your head. You're submitting yourself to him.
Right. Amen. We're jumping all over. I apologize. But Ephesians 4 in the message, I don't have the verse written down here. Caleb was doing really good putting it up earlier. But we were talking about working within Christ's body, the church, till we're all moving rhythmically, easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed, we're ripe within and without, fully alive like Christ. I like this. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ, in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And I think what's so beautiful about that. And when I was reading through it, the thought came to me. So any of us who have kids, or we've all been a kid, right? Always pick on Caleb because he's easy to pick on. So Ronan is three. You can't just let Ronan do whatever he wants and him stay alive, okay? Any of us who have children know this, correct? Okay. So, but how beautiful is this, guys? God's design for us is so perfect because he says no prolonged infancies, talking about small children who are easy prey for predators. So, guys, that's important for us because when we realize that when we are in position and we are directly joined in the body of Christ where God has put us and planted us, there's protection there, right? Because what the whole idea is for us to mature, for us to grow, just like our little guys, because little guys, I mean, they're easy prey, right? They're easy prey. So when we are in position, in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, we're not that easy prey for predators, amen? And all of us know that there is a devil out there that's out like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. When we are in position where we need to be, we are not easy prey. And I don't know if that's good news for you guys, but it's good news for me because there's a whole lot of things I don't know. And if I just know, hey, I just need to be where I need to be, and the Lord's going to take care of those other things, Christ the head is going to show me which way to go, right? What step to take and what to do and what not to do. That's comforting for me, and I hope it is for you guys too. Listen, the enemy is always out there telling you everything you've done wrong. He tries to diminish anything and everything about you. And Paul is encouraging us in these letters, as a part of the body of Christ, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a not vital or unuseful part. And so be encouraged in that.
God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell the truth in love. What's the truth? Be in Christ and like Christ in everything. I really like that part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's do it.
Give y'all a break. Everybody's getting pretty serious.
I know. They're pretty quiet. They're pretty quiet.
All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26 in the message. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part, the parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every part enters into the exuberance.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we talked about it before. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. That is so powerful. When we accept our part in the body, that's when our part is meaningful. And I think the enemy is really good about getting our focus off on what we need to be paying attention to. And a lot of it is just showing up. We say it all the time. If you don't quit, I mean, you win. There's no other way around it. As long as we keep showing up, listen, sometimes it's muddy, messy, ugly. All of us who are parents can say hearty amen to that, right? Parenting children can be that way sometimes. But it can be ugly, messy, not so pretty all the time, not perfect, if you will, but because of the greater one in us, he is perfecting us, and he's making something beautiful, and he has a plan, and it's such a good plan. And I think that was it more than anything, is we were just encouraged, because a few weeks ago, Pastor Monty had talked about, well, if you back up, he was talking about King David, and he wasn't in position, right? And so we know what happens when we're not in position, guys. But then he's been talking about the body of Christ and how a foot out on its own can't do anything. I mean, if you see a foot land somewhere, it's not going to be doing much. We have to stay vitally connected to the body in order to function the way that the Lord designed for us to function. And so we want you guys to be encouraged to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, and just knowing that the Lord's going to take care of all those other things. And it's powerful.
Right. And I'm going to jump back to Ephesians 4. We've jumped around a lot.
We have.
In Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. Mm-hmm. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. I've claimed that excuse a few times. And my mother-in-law laughs. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life and a life renewed from the inside, working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. And 1 Corinthians 12, that's what Misty just read. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's your identity. You are Christ's body.
Amen.
He is the head. We are the body.
The head will take us where we need to go, guys. And that's the encouraging part. It's interesting, you know, when you're reading in the message, or all of them, but they'll have like a subtitle, right? And then it'll read, and then they'll have another one. And I thought it was interesting in Ephesians chapter 4, the first subtitle is to be mature, and then it's the old way has to go. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Think about it. To be ripened, right, to perfection, to be mature, the old way has to go, right? And that's, to me, that was really, really, really good. I don't think we read it, but it's Ephesians chapter 4. In Christ's body, we're all connected. He talks about not giving the devil a place. Okay, so Ephesians 4, verse 27 reminds us not to give the devil a place. It's interesting. He mentions anger. Okay, he mentions anger. He says, yeah, go ahead and get angry. Just don't stay angry, basically. But guys, we don't want to give him a place, right? We don't want to give the enemy any place whatsoever. And so I think that's why Paul's warning us, reminding us not to go back to some of the old ways, right? That we need to continue in what we've learned as Christ, in the body of Christ, and learning his ways and allowing him being the head to lead us where we go and what we do and what we see.
Amen.
Amen. Don't give in place. Don't give in place.
We got a lot more to go. Y'all okay? But we're going to wrap it up here.
They're like, no, we're ready to go.
Yeah, we're out of here. But positioning yourself, being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. That's four qualifiers. If any one of those you say, no, get out of there. Get out of there. Being in my place in the body of Christ, you're here, you're learning what your place is, you know your identity.
Amen.
Is you are Christ's body. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So when the enemy's lying to you, telling you all the stuff you've done wrong in your life, right, accusing you, he's called the accuser of the brethren, you just remind him out loud, nope, I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. And as long as you're doing that, everything, the Lord has taken care of everything for you, no matter how big it might look. Amen? Amen. So.
Man, we could just keep going because, man, if there's people in your life and you know they're not in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, you don't need to be there right there beside them. You sometimes have to separate yourself from some people. I've done it. I can remember those things and those people and the reason I separated my life from them, myself from them. You've got to make that hard choice. Who are you going to follow?
Jesus.
You going to follow Christ, or are you going to follow the wrong example and be a part of something that you don't need to be a part of? Everybody take a deep breath. That was a lot.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go and read Ephesians 4 for yourself. Mm-hmm. Read 1 Corinthians 12 mm-hmm. for yourself. Study it out in separate, in different translations. Mm-hmm. And ask God, what is this saying to me? What is this saying to me? How do I fit in the body of Christ? Because mm-hmm. that's where you want to be. Amen. That's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Y'all ready to say scripture confessions? Amen. Amen. All right. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Light all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper. For I am like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. With what measure I meet, it is measured unto me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God has made all grace abound toward me. And I, having all sufficiency of all things, do abound to all good works. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, and in my pathway there is life and there is no death. I am a doer of the word of God and am blessed in my deeds. I am happy in those things which I do because I am a doer of the word of God. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon this earth. Amen.
Bible study Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock, guys, come. Child care is available.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa-oh. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.